Hi, this is Dean Jacobs from Tarani Motors. We are so thrilled to be sponsoring Sand Hill Stories on KVSH Radio. We think this will be a special program inspiring to both young and old. After the program, give me a call at 402-376-1661 or come see me if you're looking for a new or used vehicle. And now, here is today's edition of Sand Hill Stories.
Well, we're doing great. It's a cool morning. Things are happening here at the Cherry County Fairgrounds for the Nebraska State High School Finals Rodeo. Our special edition of the Sand Hill Stories is going to feature Bill Manning, the history of the Manning family. And we're going to throw in a little history of rodeo, which seems to be appropriate with the high school finals going on here in Valentine. So, Bill, always a pleasure. Welcome to our KVSH broadcast airwaves.
Well, thank you very much.
The Manning family, let's start there. Tell me a little bit about the history, the ancestry of the Manning family.
Well, all I can do is go that far back. All I can do is, by memory, is the best of my ability. My great-great-grandfather came from Rockport, Missouri, so the story goes. And we went back there to see if there was any graves or see what we could find, some ancestors down in there. And I was talking to my neighbor, Gary Schaefer, the other day, and they went north of Rockport to a cemetery about 30 miles away, and there was Manning's buried all over there. And so we now, like the Mannings from Hemingford, they came straight from there all the way to Hemingford. Now, we always said that we never had no connections, but I talked to family members up there, and they said, you look more like a Manning than I do. And so I'm sure Danny swears up and down we are related, and I don't know how, but he took the arrogant side.
So what would have been the time frame? When did they come from Missouri?
1947.
47, so yep. mid the 20th century, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Well, whoa. That's when they moved, That's when they moved south of Valentine, my granddad did. And believe it or not, he just got done building a brand-new slide stacker and drug it all the way from east of Whitman there all the way to the home place there, which where I grew up and all my siblings did. And I said, how did you know you had to cross two rivers? How did you know where to go, and how did you have enough gas? And he said, well, back then we flew everywhere. And so he said, I got my Super Cub, and I flew it over, and it took me 2 days to get it to where I grew up, south of Valentine.
2 days to get it from Whitman over to that Brown Lee. Did you call it the Brown Lee area?
Well, south of Brown Lee. Southeast of Brown Lee.
Okay.
Yeah. On the east side, right there we were. Where I was raised right on the North Loop River.
So when they came from Rockport, then they settled out around the Whitman area?
Yep, Whitman, and then Hyannis area. My great-great-grandfather was a rancher up there and ended up being a banker. Later on, I talked to some of the old-timers that have gone on now and told me that he was a good banker and helped a lot of people out. And I don't know where he had the money to do it, but he helped a lot of different outfits out there.
Professional slide stack mover.
Yeah, there you go. No, that was wild. The best crop they ever put on that place was the first year there. And after that, it went downhill. That place just never did ever raise a lot of hay.
Over in Whitman, so then...
Down in Thedford.
Oh.
It was feast or famine on that.
Was it just the time, the cycle of the climate?
I have no idea, but we just did not put up a lot of hay.
So what was this great-grandfather's name?
George.
George Manning.
Yeah, George Manning.
Okay, and what about his spouse?
I
put you on the spot there.
There you go. I have no idea.
Oh, okay. So
I know he had one daughter and two boys.
Okay, so then your parents' name?
My dad's, my grandparents, Bill and Eleanor, had two kids, and that was Jack and Mart. Mart was my dad.
Okay. And so you named after the grandfather then?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. So little family.
And then I had one brother and two sisters.
Okay, so you're here in the mid-1950s. I'm not going to ask when you were born, but you did say something about siblings. So tell me a little bit about your siblings and how many and where'd they end up at?
Well, my brother, Hayne, was a year and a couple months younger than I was. And then there was Ann, and then there was Carrie.
Okay.
And we were not, when we grew up, we were not supposed to rodeo on Sunday afternoons. My dad would take a nap, and I would sneak out and get in the pickup and drive over to Gene Lesher's. And Gene was the one that taught me how to steer wrestle.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay, I wonder how that influence got into your blood system.
Yeah, and he had his son by the name of Dick, Tom, Ronnie, Jim, Bernard, and Marianne. Bobby Ann, who lives in Ballantyne here, it was her husband that actually helped me get going. We went to all rodeos in a straight truck, and it was a two-sticker, and Tom had to run his hand through the steering wheel to shift gears, and we would go there, and back then, there was only four or five high school rodeos.
So what year would have that been?
That would have been 66. I won the steer wrestling as a snot-nosed freshman.
Oh, really?
Yep. I beat out Tom Witt, or Jim Witt, and he won the Nationals the year before.
Oh, it's all about the draw, right?
It's all about the draw. And I remember a friend of mine, I told him, I said, I'm going to win this today. And I'd only jumped six steers prior to being there. And he said, you're not going to win it. And so I bid him 50 cents. I had found two quarters in my pocket, so I gave it to him. And I went out and went 6-4. And back then, you didn't have to qualify to go to the Nationals, to the state high school finals, And they were in Harrison at the time. And Orville Galno talked my dad into letting me go up there. And I ended up getting my freshman year.
Orville, I remember, was fighting bulls probably till early 80s, something like that. He'd been at it a long time. It seemed like when they had the state finals in Ballantyne, Orville Galano was a bullfighter here before he retired.
Yeah, and then when they got it out of Harrison and put it in North Platte, him and Miles Hare were fighting bulls down there. And Miles was just getting started pretty good. Very, very, very good bullfighter lifesaver. And Orville Todd helped him, helped me too.
You did a little bit of, I don't know if you were a paid bullfighter at a rodeo, but you got involved in that once in a while.
Yeah, down in North Platte, Dave Fromm got hung up, and Miles and I talked about what we do when somebody gets hung up. And he said, grab him by the arm, and the bull went to the lap, and turn and a half, and I was helping outside the bucking chutes, helping the kids get out, trying to keep that rodeo. I wanted the North Platte to work because I knew we were going to get more money for the kids going to the Nationals and stuff like that, the money end of it. And I went out there, and Miles and I had an argument. I said, grab the tail and unwrap them with the no, grab my arm. And Mike, I give Mike a picture that I got, and that was, and he said, okay, Bill, you were right this one time. I said, okay.
Just one time.
One time.
That was the last time, right?
It wasn't the, But Miles grew up in Gordon, and I got to know him the year before my sister qualified in breakaway, and I got to know Miles at Henderson, Colorado at the high school Nationals.
Okay.
And when we weren't doing that, we were playing golf at a driving range. Yeah, and we said, hey, we want to make a round of golf. And they said, I wouldn't let you guys on my golf course with nothing with them cowboy boots on.
Discrimination, right?
Yeah, that was total discrimination.
Discrimination there.
Yeah, we did it. We did it every darn near every day.
So you mentioned a little bit about Orville Galano and working with him some. Of course, he was a renowned bullfighter here in the Sand Hills area. Let's talk about some of the other people that you worked with. You mentioned Glenn Nutter before we went on the air, working alongside him, with him.
What helped a lot of kids back a long time ago, Thetford had a roping club, and you could go in there, and Glenn would tweak us. And I learned a lot from Glenn on handling horses and stuff like that. Orville did a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful job helping a lot of kids. And, you know, we're very fortunate to have him around there. Of course, Byron Eatinger was there, and there were some other guys that helped. Jim Johnson was there,
Yeah, I don't know what happened. We apparently dropped a phone call in there somehow along the way, but that's what happens with all this modern technology. So, again, we're back at the high school rodeo finals, and we're visiting with Bill Manning about the Manning family and getting into some of the history of high school rodeo, Mid-States rodeo, any of those associations that came along. I opened up a page in a book. I want to say thanks to Bernard Miles, who provided me with a copy of the Salute to Champions, 1950 through 1976 high school rodeo finals. And there's, I didn't find a picture of Bill, but I found a picture of your sister in there running some barrels.
Yep, that was, she was a freshman and won the all-around as a freshman. And she won her freshman, junior, senior year all-around at the state finals. That picture of that barrel racing horse actually belonged to Bonnie Calano.
Oh, really?
Bonnie Boat, yeah, that Billy used to head off him.
Oh, it was barrel racing horse and a heading horse.
Yes, really nice one.
So if we look back through here, I mean, there's going to be like Pat Kaufman of Dunning.
Yep.
You know Pat very well.
Oh, very, very well. Saw him the other day. He lives out in Lusk, Wyoming, and his son is bull riding too. And you see him at some pro shows.
So we've got Steve Bierman of North Platte and the team roping along with, let's see, who's
Culver?
Tim Culver.
Yep.
On that. Oh, there's Tim Colvin of Valentine. Anything to do with bulldogging, you're kind of the official aficionado on that, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Yeah, I've been out of it for a little bit. Yeah, Tim was a good – a lot of people don't realize that Tim didn't get to go to the Nationals one year. That was back before they had points like we have now. And they had – my mom was on the board at the time. And what happened was he drew a bad calf. And so he spent a lot of time pulling and everything, and the calf kicked out, and we fought my mom fought the points of going to a point system. But after that, that's when they started the point system, because Tim should have gone to the high school nationals that year.
Was it based on times then? Was it based on cumulative time and an average?
Yeah. Yes. At the finals. Yes.
So if you had a 4.5 and a 4.5, you had 9 seconds total on
right.
two. Okay.
But the main thing was, We lost a lot of kids that just drew bad at state. And so they put the point system in. And that, you know, I seemed like we were better well represented, because just in case something happened, like a torrential downpour rain or whatever, you know. And so I was all for it. The only thing I think they tweaked it down to 15. You only take 15 rodeos, my understanding. They need to move it down to 12. Because there's too many. In order for us to broaden ourselves out, we're starting to get more kids from Omaha and way out west. And if we could just go to 12, take 12 to the state finals, I think would help alleviate the pocketbook a little bit. But I mean, I love the point system. It's fair and what have you. But yeah, I love the point system. When we were involved in it, we had a lot of fun, corrupted a lot of kids.
I was going to say, you had an influence. Talk about you, first of all. So you were in high school rodeo. You went on. Did you college rodeo?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. And then you got in. Did you do amateur association? Did you turn pro at any
time? No, I slipped, farted, and fell and got married.
And got, oh, good thing Marge.
Yeah. Well,
here.
No. She'll back it up, yeah. And she said, in order for us to survive with the way the times were right before Jimmy Carter got in there, she said, you're going to have to sell your gray bulldogging team. And so I sold them and settled down. And then we was away from rodeo business, and we got into raising registered greyhounds for the racetrack.
Let's talk a little bit about that. Was an interesting twist from the middle of Cherry County.
Yeah, it was. We had a lot of fun. We had dogs raced in Colorado, Arizona, Plainfield, Connecticut, Providence, Rhode Island, all over country, and we had a lot of fun doing that.
So is that kind of like racehorses? I mean, you're looking at bloodlines?
Well, yeah, we studied bloodlines hard. And we had some nice guys help us, Bill Pollard from Oshkosh. Greyhound racing is almost a thing of the past. There's only two Greyhound tracks in the United States.
Wow.
And that's it. And they still race. And the Hall of Fame is, and where it all happens at, is in Abilene, Kansas, the home of one of our presidents, Eisenhower.
Eisenhower.
And they got a big museum down there. And we were fortunate enough to have a Bill Pollard from Oshkosh helped us a lot. He actually milked 20 head of cows twice a day to feed the Greyhounds milk.
Oh, really?
Because the main diet was meat. And see, meat is full of phosphorus. And we needed calcium to build bone. And so that's what he did. And so when Bill explained this to us, we bought all the milk we could get, people to milk cows around Thetford when we were there. And then we discovered later on we could feed meat and bone meal or just plain bone meal, and that would offset for the high phosphorus in the diet.
Oh, really? So yeah, a little science. So that led you into the Manning feeds then. And
yes. Yeah, I studied nutrition on greyhounds and stuff like that. And when I moved home to the ranch, I told Dad, I said, hey, we need to tweak our mineral, and we need more phosphorus in our diet because there's no phosphorus on our grass.
So when did you start the Manning feeds, start doing that kind of stuff?
Well, actually, it started out when I designed this mineral, and Bob Steele, who I hazed for when he was in high school, and mounted him on my horse, and he had a degree in it, and he helped me tweak it and design this mineral. Now I've worked with six different nutritionists, and at my age, most of them, or half my nutritionists, are all passed on.
Oh.
But we did a lot of research on that, and they taught me a lot. And then we even got into doing soil analysis, because it can't be in the grass if it ain't in soil.
True.
So we did that, and doing very well. Been a little slow spring this year. Everybody's having a lot of fun watching it rain finally.
Yeah, finally enjoying a little bit, or a lot of rain in some cases there as well. So we got to know each other when you were probably hauling kids to rodeos, high school rodeos particularly. You helped a lot of kids. Let's mention a few names there that you helped get started in steer wrestling.
Oh, my goodness. I'm afraid I might leave some of them out. One of the ones that's probably going to do the best is Gus Franzen from Kearney.
Okay, yeah.
He came to the school, and the first hour and a half, I went up and told his dad, I said, he's another court shear. And he said, oh, you're kidding me. I said, no, this kid's got it. I said, he's one of the very few kids that just absolutely picked everything up. And he was the main thing was he was very coachable.
Yeah.
That's 95% of the sport of rodeo is being able to listen and absorb it. And then if they don't understand, then you go back into the mechanics of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, there was a court shear was probably, he broke the record on, three runs at state. And then, the Ravenscroft kid ended up breaking it later on.
Is that Eric?
Tyler.
Tyler.
Yeah.
Tyler.
Okay. Yeah, he broke the state record. And Eric called me on the way home. He said, I think we just broke the record on three, Bill. And I said, I can't remember what his times were, but Court was one of them absolute natural athletes, you know, and you get them once in a while.
Sure.
But then there's kids that worked at it and did very well for themselves.
Well, and some are natural at that kind of stuff. Some pick it up. Some are coachable. And that's one of the main things in any sport. If an athlete is coachable and they got somebody with knowledge, they can learn things.
Right. Yeah. And then some of the stuff you tell them, they go, you know what? And so you'd have to go back to the mechanics of it.
So at what point did you quit getting down on steers?
'72. Yeah. My wife says, you got to sell the horses. And believe it or not, my bulldogging horse, I run into a guy that ended up with him, lives out in western Nebraska. And I said, and I recognize him, I can't think of his name right now. And I saw him at an air show here a while back. And I said, did you ever get your shoulder fixed? And he said, yes, it's finally healed up. I said, if you got rid of that gray bulldogging horse, you know, it would have healed a lot faster. And I called him a slang word for the horse. He said, no, He said, I won state on him in Wyoming 3 years in a row, sold him to a family in South Dakota, and all three kids took him to the high school nationals on that horse.
Wow.
And he was a runaway horse.
Really?
Oh, he was an we couldn't. He, when he decided to run, my wife has always been mad at me because she never got to ride him. And I said, Marge, when he decides to run away, you ain't going to stop him. And we're going down this road, driving the cows down the road. I said, I can't
catch you.
I said, I ain't going to be able to catch you either. And actually, our good Hazen horse come from Herb Ferguson. And he was one. And Granddad bought him at a sale for $300. And we tried everything. We tried every bit in the world. We even made a bit to get him to stop. And you could never get him to stop, but he could darn sure bulldog.
Some of them just, that's what they're designed to do, right?
Yep, that's one thing they can do.
So let's talk about the state of rodeo today. On the pro side of things, the money's phenomenal. High school side of things, these athletes, they get bigger, stronger, faster, quicker, setting new records.
Yes. Yeah, it's pretty cool right now what's going on in the wonderful world of rodeo. I mean, the money that pays now is a whole lot different than it was 7-8 years ago.
Yeah. Well, you look at college sports and the whole transfer portal, NIL stuff. I had I don't want to get you started on that. I had a chance to talk to Haley Whitty, who is from Ballantyne, Crookston area, going to her first college national finals. First one from Fort Hays State in 23 years to make it to college national finals. They're pumped. I mean, she said the dean of the college is coming to watch things. And so, you have things like that these athletes are just doing phenomenal things.
See, the worst thing about the college finals was always the week after our state finals. And we've had three horses go to the college finals.
Mm-hmm.
And Spook went there four times, and a kid out in Scotts Bluff, grew up in Dunning, rode Spook out there. And he was a son of Dash for Cash. I traded off a Ford Dually pickup, and I never seen my wife so excited. She hated that pickup. And he broke the record with a 3.5, and 2 days later, they broke it again.
They did it again.
Yep. And he went out there. Gabe Taylor rode him out there once. I'm trying to think of all. And Iris Bonnell rode him out there at the college finals. And then Skip has been there, and Skip's been there. Sis has been there. Horses we had that we either sold the kids or let them use them.
So I was going back 20 years, probably more, because I always underestimate those things. Do you remember the rain last night made me think of a Broken Bow event down there at the Broken Bow Fairgrounds, and it rained, and that arena was not going to drain. And they moved like the final perf over to Thomas County Fairgrounds.
Yep.
Back in your neck of the woods.
Yep.
And I know you were hauling horses and hazing for some of those names that you met back then.
Well, yeah, but we were not involved in high school rodeo at the time.
Oh, you weren't?
No, we just moved back to the ranch, and we set up on top of the hill and watched, and then it turned right around and rained at Thetford, too, in the finals.
And
even after they moved, but Thetford's, and, you know, one thing I will say about Ballantyne, maybe change the subject here, this arena here is the neatest arena in the world. And I've talked to the old timers, and what happened was where they have the floor for the arena here actually was a racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
And the old timers put, and Robert Miles and all the Miles was involved in that. My parents weren't, but this arena can take a lot of water and still make it competitive. Because one year we had a rodeo up here, and the barrel racing got halfway through and it just started pouring. And we got an inch 60, and you won't believe it. The times in the barrel race in the second half and after the rain was faster than the first half.
I know I talked to Eric Ravenscroft, and he said in the performance yesterday morning, they had three barrel runs under 18 seconds, which was good for this arena. They had eight by the time the show was done last night. They had five more that were fast, under that 18-second mark.
Yes.
So, it actually, in the Ag Society, deserves the credit for – the way it's been designed from generations ago to getting that arena worked. I think Jim Walls was running tractor for them and keeping things going. So
yep.
They were able to have pretty good ground to run on.
Yeah, well, you know, you can put a lot of water on this arena and make it just as competitive and not, I mean, just make it where it's nobody, there's no advantage.
So if there's a rodeo, Thomas County, Cherry County, Blaine County, wherever it might be at, you just kind of go set in the pickup with your hand on the starter, ready to go?
Yeah, sometimes, but no, normally we go back out and play in the water.
Play in the water.
Play in the water.
So what's the future hold for Bill and Marge Manning now?
All semi-retired and still self-feeding mineral and just enjoying life.
Going to be over at the Ranch Expo next week?
Yes. We have a booth at the Ranch Expo. And we really, the biggest reason why we have it is not to sell feed. It's a resting place for all our customers to stop by, take a break. We got, Marge's got ice water there for them and everything, and we let them all take a break.
So looking back to your rodeo career, would you say you got more pleasure out of the things that you did in the arena as far as competing, or was it helping younger people get going?
It was, I'll be honest with you, it was more fun for both of us. Helping kids.
You did a lot.
We did a lot of kids. No regrets. Absolutely no regrets.
Well, Bill, it's been an absolute pleasure. We get a chance to visit once in a while.
Oh, sure.
Gator Bob shows up every once in a while, and we get a chance to visit about that. But a good sense of humor, a good horse.
Yep.
Sand Hills grass, right?
Yep. We live in a beautiful part of the world.
Well, we appreciate you coming by, and I know you're going to think of things after the program. Well, we should have talked about this or that. So I'm going to give you last words from Bill Manning and the Manning family, rodeo. What do you want to say?
Well, I'll tell you what. Years ago, it was, I love Harrison. I love the people up there. But high school rodeo just outgrew Harrison. And that was too bad, because I guarantee you, them people up there, they went to a lot of work to even have the state high school finals. In fact, one year, they even had the nationals there.
Really?
Yep.
They had them in Ballantyne in the 60s, right?
No, I'm talking about national high school.
Yeah, I know, but they had nationals in Ballantyne
year,
but I can't remember what year it was.
I can't either. I cannot remember that. Yeah, I do. I was in sixth grade. Dad,
I'm not going to do
Neil,
the math.
Neil Keller had box tickets, and he gave them to all the neighbors, and we went up to watch Jim Johnson ride a bull. And that's when Jim rode the bull, and the bull spun around and hit him in the head. And that's why Jim can't hear out of one ear. But I remember that like yesterday.
I'm going to mention some names in here. These guys are probably people you're going to recognize somewhere down the road. Bill O'Connor of Keystone, Mardell Dixon of Benkelman, Sally Becker of Ashby, Byron Edinger of Thetford, Max Damon of Rushville, John Sennett, Broken Bow, Vaughn Blackburn, Scott's Bluff, Herb Ferguson, Woodlake, Roy O'Mara. I mean, these are all names in this book that Bernard Miles had provided to me. Buzz Denaire, Tim Colvin, all of those, some of those that we had mentioned as well. So those are some names that you had personal experience with in there, and a lot of those are in the legend category. We're going to put Bill Manning up there in the legends category.
Oh, okay. No, I'll tell you what. Bernard Miles had a lot to do with making this work here. Buzz Denaire, especially Buzz, because what happened was they always, when they voted where the state finals was going to be, they always had it in Harrison, and nobody would contest it. They needed to get it out of Harrison. There was no place to stay. Chip Whitaker and his dad and the family, they brought a straight truck and a tarp, and they slept in the back end of the box of the truck. So, and they brought their milk out because they didn't want it to dry up.
Well, of course.
And they, you know, and I remember the first year I went up there, it rained and rained and rained, and it put out the barbecue pit.
Oh,
and
no.
we had a basement rented. I don't know how we got it through some other people. We took clothes hangers and undid it, and Dad run the clothes hanger through the meat and above the fire in our kitchen. It was so, and it snowed. And that was in 1966. It snowed at the state finals and rained. I bet they.
And it was in June.
It was in June.
And it snowed.
climate change, right? Yeah. My first year, Jim Johnson was flagging, my feet hit the ground and stuck in the mud, and the steer lit on top of me. And I wasn't going to let him go because I wanted to do good. And Jim was starting to get off his horse to pull me out from underneath the steer, and he said, "You popped up." And believe it or not, I got sixth in the state that year with that Houlihan stuck in the mud. And that was a wet year, but it was fun.
Also, just to mention, the book that we've been referring to in here, which has been a wealth of information, was compiled by Marianne Beal, who was a photographer for rodeo for decades.
Forever.
And a big, big supporter of high school rodeo in particular. I know in mid-'80s, when they have the state finals here, she was one of those that stepped up and said, "We're going to do this. Nobody's getting paid unless we make money on it." And we did make some money. So some people got a little bit of a check out of that. We were fortunate enough, Kim and I got a chance to announce that then, because, hey, we're like, yeah, we'll do that. We'd been to Harrison to announce rodeos and Curtis. There's just a lot of rich tradition in high school rodeo. Good thing to teach kids about a sport, athleticism, responsibility, for one thing, right?
Well, you know, a lot of people don't realize back then, you know, Court Shear and I was going down the road south at Thetford one time, and he looked over at the little oil to the right. And he said, "Bill, can you imagine driving down that?" And I said, "I did for years. I even hauled hay with a stack mover mounted on a truck on that road." "You're kidding me." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "We've come a long ways, cowboy." And I said, you know, back in the old days when I rodeoed, there was a one-day rodeo or a two-day, and there was only, like, when I was a junior, there was only Valentine, Thetford, and McCook when I was a sophomore, and Mitchell in the state high school finals. Now, when I was a senior, Ainsworth tried it, and Bassett tried doing it, but they both lost money on it, so they quit it after there. And then things kind of changed, and it kind of bloomed from there. Where it really ballooned, I think, was when they went to the point system.
That made a big
change. That made
big change,
a big difference.
So.
I love the point system, and that was a good, good deal.
Well, Bill, it's been a pleasure to visit with you here for Sandhill Stories and reminisce about Nebraska High School Rodeo. You got a chance to enjoy a little bit of the rodeo yet today, coming up here in a few minutes.
Yeah, I'm going to run over and watch the Bulldog, and
watch
I guarantee
the Bulldog.
That.
You can't miss that. So thank you, sir, for coming in. It's been a great pleasure.
You bet. Thank you, Mike, for having me.
Bill Manning has been our guest here on the Sandhill Stories program, of course, brought to you by Tarani Motors on West Highway 20 in Valentine, where you would send a friend. Back to the studios of KVSH.
With so many choices in vehicles, finding the perfect match can be daunting. But at Tarani Motors, located in Valentine, Nebraska, we've got you covered. From rugged trucks like the Ford F-350 to sporty cars like the Ford Mustang and spacious minivans such as the Chrysler Pacifica, there's something for everyone. Plus, our high-quality pre-owned selection offers affordability with upfront pricing. Why wait? Discover your next ride at Tarani Motors today. Once again, this is Dean from Tarani Motors. We hope you enjoyed today's edition of Sandhill Stories. I invite you to stop by Tarani Motors for your next service or your next vehicle. Tune in again next week for the next edition of Sandhill Stories.
Today's program are the opinions of those involved and not the views of this station or its sponsors. KVSH reserves the right to control the content of the program as it deems necessary. If you or your organization disagree with the views on this program, contact KVSH for possible rebuttal time. Listen Monday through Friday at 10:15 for comment.